I'm in WPR's Buck Studio in Madison with Wisconsin musician John Smith. Welcome, John.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Good to be here.
Thanks for making the time. Since we're here together to hear and talk about your music, how about you start us off with a song?
I'd be happy to. Sure. I'll start with this song. It's called Family Artifacts, and a song I wrote one day after partly driving home from down in Iowa, little town DeWitt, where I grew up. And after getting together with my brothers and sisters and family, kind of dealing with my parents' things after they passed. And
sure.
So I send this out to anybody else that's had to go through that or going through it. It's called Family Artifacts. Just got back from my old hometown, land of the tall green corn and the good black ground. My brothers and sisters all gathered round to split up what's left of two good lives lived, both gone now. We emptied out the drawers, the garage and the closets, divvied up the family treasures, and all the portraits of us shed a few good tears, shared a few good laughs. Then we each drove away with a box full of family artifacts, a cardboard box full of this and that, lace tablecloths, chipped dishes, and faded photographs. Whoever said you can never go back, but I did today with a box full of family artifacts. Look at this old bowl, faded roses on the side, takes me back to the kitchen table on 7th Street at breakfast time. And here's Dad's old silver dollar, all shiny and worn, 1922 Liberty Eagle, the year that he was born. And here's Mom's old rosary with Jesus taped to the cross. I can still see her face now as she was praying for all of us. A cardboard box full of this and that, lace tablecloths, chipped dishes, faded photographs. Whoever said you can never go back, but I did today with a box full of family artifacts. It's hard to think it boils down to this: a man and a woman live their lives and raise their kids. It doesn't look like much, pack it all up, but there's so much more that can't be boxed. There's all the love. Whoever said you can never go back, but I did today with a box full of family artifacts. I just got back from my old hometown, land of the tall green corn and the good black ground. My brothers and sisters all gathered round to split up what's left of two good lives lived, both gone now.
Nice. That's a beautiful song.
Thanks.
I did that very thing a few days ago.
It brings up a lot of stuff,
doesn't it? It does. I notice a theme running through your songs pretty strong is family and home. Do you get a lot of reaction from that when you're in concerts?
Yeah, I do. I do. I remember I kind of got there without
thinking about it, like any songwriter, I think we're all trying to find our writer's voice, is kind mm-hmm. of a term some people will use, to where you can write us, you know, you write a lot of songs for a lot of years, and hopefully they're progressing. And usually at first when we start writing, we kind of copy people that we like, you know.
Sure.
Like, you know, our songs all sound like Dylan or John Prine or whatever it is. And but then we kind of find our own voice when we kind of tell our truth. And so a big part of my truth is writing about what I know, and that's a lot of that happens to be family. There's a lot of other things I go to regularly, but a lot of stuff about family, and I'm kind of not afraid anymore to let it all hang out in songs. Mm. Whereas I know some songwriters don't ever get very autobiographical in their songs. They are more like somebody who's a novelist. They would never have themselves in the novel. It's
sure.
always something they're totally making up. Whereas I kind of tell my story and my truth often. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, you come from, if I'm not mistaken, a family of 10 kids.
Yeah, 10 kids.
Wow, and where are you in that?
Life? I'm the third. It was 10 kids in 10 years' time.
Holy
cow. So I'm the third of the 10, in the 10.
Well, yeah. My experience of large families is that family, for good, ill, or indifferent, is a big impact on them.
It is. I know it a little bit more now that I'm married and have a few kids, and of just how much when I grew up, it was a clan. It's a different
sure.
word. I mean, it really was. And I kind of knew it growing up, but sometimes when you're in something, you don't know it, you don't see something. But later, like I remember when my dad passed away. First, God, just how many hundreds and hundreds of people were at the church, and in the funeral home, and it wasn't because just because my dad knew that many people himself personally, it was just that all his 10 kids did, and they all come from big families, so it's really a clan, and you know I have like 60 some first cousins, and both my grandparents lived only blocks away, so. Different than I have now. I live in Trempealeau, Wisconsin, away from where I grew up some hours, and I get down there every year, but it's just a different kind of growing up.
Sure. You know? Well, now, and when you talk about your songwriting, you said, you know, it tends to be autobiographical.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you, I love the song off your latest album, Ginkgo, Lucky Duck.
Oh, yeah.
And so I want to know, and you'll have to explain it, but I want to know if the stories in there are true, because there's some really good stories
in there. The stories are absolutely 100% true. Wrote this little piece, and I call it a piece because it's kind of half song, half spoken something. And but it came from a friend, an old friend that I grew up with. I ran into him in California, hadn't seen him in years, and we got talking, and he was like, "I don't remember you playing when we, you know, back in school and stuff. What happened?" And so I kind of started to tell him this little story, and he's like, "You got to write a song about that." So I took the challenge on. And usually when I write a song, I kind of have my guitar in my lap and I'm kind of noodling and I might know what I want to talk about, but sometimes I don't. And then, but if something feels like it's worthy, then I follow it down to the next step. So I'm not used to writing songs where the lyrics are first. Somebody like Paul Simon, from what I understand, writes all his lyrics first and then gets out his music, guitar, whatever, and makes it all work. So I wrote the story down, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, my God, this is going to be a 30-minute song once I started to sing it, you know, put melody to it and stuff. So then I remember thinking, what am I going to do? I really want to do something here. And so I thought of Woody Guthrie, and I thought, what would Woody Guthrie do? And Woody would probably do a talking blues thing.
Sure.
So that's kind of where I came from. But, yeah, this is true, and here it is. It was the summer out of high school. I was working at a Clinton, Iowa factory, and I was dreaming about the ocean blue out west and palm trees on the beach. And then one day I was walking downtown past the mobile filling station when I spotted this car parked from out of state, and I figured it was somebody on vacation. So I walked inside where these old guys were smoking cigars and playing euchre, and I asked, "Hey, who owns that Mercury out there all the way from California?" And this old guy named Ed, He said, well, that's my Merkin. I'm looking for somebody who would drive me back to where I live in sunny Pasadena. And I said, holy cow, can you believe my luck? Must be angels pulling strings for me somewhere up above. Now I'm happy as a pig rolling in the barnyard muck. Thank my stars, my Venus, and my Mars. Hallelujah, I'm a lucky duck. Well, I got to California, signed up for junior college. I got an apartment and found me a job. Working after school as a janitor, cleaning up a Johnson's Lincoln Mercury car lot. And then at dusk one night, I was working out back when this crazy scene unfolded. It seems this fella stole a car a few days back and he was just trying to return it. But my boss ran out and chased that thief towards where I was sweeping up out back. And he was closing in because that thief was lugging a suitcase, an instrument, and a big backpack. And then out of the blue, you'd never guess what happened to me then. Well, that thief tossed me my first guitar and said, here's a gift, my friend. And I said, holy cow, can you believe my luck? Must be angels pulling strings for me somewhere up above. Now I'm happy as a pig rolling in the barnyard muck. Thank my stars, my Venus, and my Mars. Hallelujah, I'm a lucky duck. Now here I am at 60 plus, I still feel like a fortunate son. I got a place on the river, two kayaks and a V-dub camper bus. I got a great wife, sons and daughters, grandkids, they're all fun. They make me laugh and give me lots of juicy granddad love. Well, some say there's no such thing as luck, coincidence or luck, fate. That there's no God up there who's dealing cards and filling inside straights. Well, all I know is that I've been blessed. And maybe it's just my attitude, but I believe in karma. What goes around, comes around is true. Yes, I'm happy as a pig rolling in the barnyard muck. Thank my stars, my Venus, and my Mars. Hallelujah, I'm a lucky duck. Born in the year of a rabbit, I'm Aquarius. Thank God I'm a lucky duck.
That's great. I love that piece.
Yeah, it really happened. That's how I got my first guitar. Yeah, I've had a lot of really, really serious lucky stuff. And I guess everybody does if you look back in your life. But I got a ton of them. So once I started to write that one little story, I thought, I got a lot of little stories to tell.
Well, I think you're right. I think if you look back in our lives, there's a lot of little instances that come along. But part of it, and you even mentioned this in the song, is an attitude, a perspective.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we talked about the theme of family running through your songs, but another theme is right, more perspective, is optimism. I was looking back over your old music, and in your first CD, Hole in the Clouds, title track, first song of your first CD, and here's the words to the I know you know them, but for our listeners, for words to the chorus. It says, hey, look up ahead, there's a hole in the clouds, there's a break in the weather now, the sun's coming out, it's like a ray of hope shining down. Hey, look up ahead, there's a hole in the clouds. So does that hold up for you?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I think I just kind of have gone through life seeing the cup half full than half empty. And that does hold up. It really does. Not to say I don't have some dark times, but usually how I get out of them is just like, kind of remembering to clean up my attitude. I don't know if clean up is the right word, but just, kind of look at what you do have in your life and what you're thankful for, and try to let go of stuff. And so that kind of keeps me with an attitude of being optimistic and positive and stuff.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Well, and I don't want to give listeners the impression that all your songs are upbeat. I mean, I think you deal with a variety of topics. I'm thinking about a song that you wrote about your brother passing away. So you kind of approach this from a lot of different perspectives, but it seems to come back a lot of times to a kind of a, like, things will be all right, we'll get through this somehow.
And it's a kind of a, like I say, you know, when what I write about. It kind of puts you in the niche. I mean, in some folk singer circles, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's real edgy and stuff, and that's just kind of not my thing. I like a lot of stuff that's dark, but I don't go there very easily or write about it. I'm not very good at it. Same thing politically. I've really got strong political views, and but I've never been very good at writing about it. I kind of think more about the human condition and trying to talk about mental wealth, stability, stuff like that, you know, stuff that makes you feel like you're working on becoming a better person, stuff like that.
Sure. How about another song?
Yeah, another song. Let's see. Why don't I do this one here I wrote in Trempealeau there, where we live, along the Mississippi. And another true story. I was just about, you know, thinking at that particular week, you know, I really feel like writing about something, but I'm just itchy, like I don't know what to write about. And then this story happened, so here it is. Was the crack of dawn? Something woke me up. Some fierce kind of racket somewhere high up above. So I put on my boots and I walked outside. There was a murder of crows circling around our twin white pines. So I took a step back, and there high in the tree sat a pair of bald eagles building a nest, staring down on me. Then out of the west came a good warm breeze, and a white-tailed feather floated down and landed at my feet. Every now and then you get a little sigh, a touch on the shoulder from the great divine. You don't ask why, you just begin to believe in the medicine. So I took that feather and I bowed my thanks to the eagles and the pines, and then I walked on back inside and I called the shaman. I asked, what does this mean? He said, it's an omen, a blessing, son, some kind of powerful thing. He said, it's an honor when they choose your place. They say when the eagle shows up, they bring a state of grace. Somewhere along your past, you did something right. Now it's time to walk the spirit way between the earth and sky. Every now and then, you get a little sign, a kiss on the brow from the great divine. You don't ask why, you just begin to believe in the medicine. North and south, east and west, spread your wings, go on, spread the medicine. For the hills and valleys, creeks and rivers wide, to the Standing Rock tribes, bring on the healing time. The medicine, hey, yeah. medicine. Hey, in the medicine. Hey, in the medicine.
Very nice. Thank you. You know, you started your introduction to that song mentioning your home in Trempealeau, and I'm always, that's in the Driftless area, right?
Yeah, definitely in there.
Yeah.
Part of it, yeah.
It's west, southwest part of the state, mm-hmm. and I'm always curious about what impact place has on musicians and on artists, on songwriters. What difference do you think it makes being where you are?
Yeah, I don't, I mean, first of all, I think it's a great question. I think it's a great question, and, and so for me, it impacts me a lot just because just part of my mental health, what's needed is a lot of nature. So I really have to have nature. And of course, and I kind of actually picky about it. I really either like living out in some isolated little country place, you know, I can't see another house, or like where I live now, I live in Trempealeau, but when I look out my windows out to the river, I don't see any other houses. It's all nature. So it impacts me a lot, and I nature just kind of grounds me. And like for poetry, I'm a huge Mary Oliver fan, and it's because it's so nature based. But nature can kind of, you know, I'm definitely not a religious person, but I really take my spirituality serious, and nature has a lot to do with that. There's kind of a grounding thing. I just feel more human when I have a lot of that. So I think place and also the place of your community. What's your little main street like, and what's your neighborhood like, and stuff. Because I'm a very small town kind of guy. I grew up in a little town in Iowa, and lived in a couple areas that were a lot more congested, but here I live now, even in a smaller town than I grew up. And even coming into Madison, I got to like find my bearings. I'm a little out of sorts, as much as I love coming to the city and I've recorded records and play in cities, but I just get a little wigged out. You know, I mean, I can't find my center as well as I do when I live. But also, little towns, I can understand why some people don't live there because it drives them crazy. And for me, it's a balance of, because I travel quite a bit, I'm slowing down a little bit, but I travel a lot. And so I'm gone. And so when I come home, a place that I can really recharge my batteries, so my sense of home and stuff and place, as you say, is very, very important. And I do, it comes up in a lot of my songs. There'll be a lot of stuff that has almost farm-like metaphors,
sure,
and stuff like that, and to get across some point or truth that I'm trying to express.
Well, in trees, I noticed, but there, you had a song called Box Elder, and I think there might have been another one called Jack Pine or Jaybird.
Jaybird, yeah, about an old Scotch pine. Jack Pine. About a Jack Pine, yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of, as I was listening, and I thought, that theme comes across, those images come across pretty strongly.
It does, yeah. I got another song called Scotch Pine. Box Elder, by the way, is a song I recorded by another Wisconsin songwriter, L.J. Booth, one of my favorite all-time songwriters. But, yeah. So, yeah, that kind of stuff's really, really strong. I mean, you could probably go through every one of my songs and you'll probably find a bird, you know, not just saying bird, you know, but there'll be a meadowlark in there, or there's a red-tailed hawk in there or something. I don't try to ever beat over that over the head of anything, but it's like poetry, you know, instead of saying something is like something, just say it is a meadowlark or whatever. And that all of a sudden that just blossoms.
Sure.
It says a lot more than that word.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, how about another song?
Yeah, one of the things that I do a lot is I go to Ireland a ton, and I was thinking about what songs do I have that are a little bit more folky than others, and here's another one from the Genko record, which is my newest. But this one I wrote after chatting with a young musician, fantastic musician. I knew this whole family of musicians. I go to Ireland a ton and a half for the last 20 years, and I bring groups to Ireland, and probably several listeners out there that have gone with me or somebody that's in my little company called Innisfree Tours. And so I use a lot of, part of what we do is we go over and for like 9 days and nights and pretty much share music with the Irish people every night. And so there's this young girl that I've known since she was about 9 or so, and now she's 20-something, and she plays the pipes, the Uilleann pipes, in Riverdance, and just phenomenal musician and writes songs. And so I was having a chat with her and her dad and talking about jigs and reels and stuff, because I love that. I don't really play Irish music, but six of my 8 great-grandparents were Irish, and so when I first went over there, I just felt something. I felt something that just felt like, really felt strongly like home, and really had a sense for my whatever natural part of being a musician that I have in singing and stuff. I really feel this is where it comes from, you know?
Sure.
And so anyways, just having a chat with him about that, and he was saying, yeah, you know, he said, when you go in these pubs nowadays and you hear jigs and reels, or even in Madison, you go out to hear an Irish session, it's usually some jigs and reels and songs and stuff like that. But, you know, he was saying, these jigs and reels, they're really all written with all this set dancing. So, you know, when they're written, they know exactly what the 8 dancers, it's kind of like square dancing,
sure.
Irish dancing. And he said, so, yeah, when I was young, about every night, people would come over to our place and we'd move all the furniture out of the kitchen. And we would dance on the old flag floor. And I just thought, God, that's a title of a song. So I wrote this little one called The Old Flag Floor. Mickey and TC made one handsome pair, 2 kids on the back roads of West County Clare. Dressed up for the evening, they both made their way to the end of the parish, to the old Howley place. Most nights of the week, friends and neighbors came by, in through the half door to the turf fireside. Then out came the fiddles in the old hobnail shoes, then hand in hand, side by side, step 2 by 2 on that old flat floor, polished and beautifully worn. And it's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and back home once more on that old flat floor. Beautiful black list scanner stone, cut from the backside of the proud cliffs of Moher, then carefully placed at the foot of the hearth, where each and every set started and stopped on that old flat floor, polished and beautifully worn. And it's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and back home once more on that old flat. And they dance through the hunger and the American wakes, and they dance through the rising of a free Irish state, and they dance through the hard times and good times alike, from season to season, round the circle of life. Folks are still dancing round West County Clare at Cayley's and Flaws and the Willie Clancy Affair. So if you're walking the back roads and hear a fast set of reels, listen close, you might hear the lively sound of their heels on that old flat floor, polished and beautiful. beautifully worn. And it's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and back home once more on that old flag floor, polished and beautifully worn. And it's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and back home once more on that old flag floor, that beautiful old flag.
Oh, nice. Thank you. That was good. I love that. That 3/4 time is just, it really comes through nicely on that.
Yeah. And, but yeah, just having that conversation with them. And I've been in enough homes and around sessions and just know that that's where it all comes from. It really comes from the home, it really comes from the kitchen. Just like a lot of great songs, a lot of songwriters close all the doors and go in the kitchen and write their songs and stuff like that. But just that dancing and just when I was writing that, I was just thinking about, because I actually put some of his grandparents and stuff into the song, who I actually met, one of them. And, but just what that must have been like. I mean, don't you remember the first time you ever danced with a girl and touched somebody like that, like to hold their hand or to dance with them? Just how powerful that would be. Romantically too, you know. And so
I remember the first time I danced was actually in our living room. My folks put on a couple of 50s albums and they showed us how they would dance, and they got us kids dancing with them. So that's a powerful experience when you get your body moving as a part of the music.
It is. Yeah, it is. Because the music's really, really in the body, you know. It is. I'd like to think of, like, I'll see Irish musicians and some nights, you know, there'll be a session and it's like 9 or 9:30 or something, and two or three Irish guys will sit in and they sit in the corner there, and you can see they've already played a couple gigs today, or they traveled away to get there, and they're like tired.
Yeah.
They're sitting there like, bring us a cup of coffee or some tea or something, you know, and Guinness comes later. But and they're kind of like, their energy is kind of low, but as soon as they start playing, And the energy of the music and in their bodies, they're very in their bodies. Every Irish person has an incredible sense of time. They really stamping on the floor and stuff like that, and they get the crowd going. So it's very much a thing that's in the body, almost in our cells. You know, the music.
Well, I think that's one of the, as an art form, that's one of the things I like about music, is that you don't think of it necessarily as a physical expression until you're doing it.
Yeah.
And then it's very much, you're playing an instrument, you're using your body to produce that sound of singing or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
It's a very physical experience.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I just think, God, where would we be without music? You know what I mean? I mean, just how I just, I'd think of that a lot. Just like, where would we be? You know, it would be harder to get in your body even, and or you know, sometimes you're driving down the road or Simply Folk comes on and, you know, some song comes on and you didn't even think that some issue was up in your heart, or like you were stuck about something, and some song comes on, or you know, and all of a sudden you got a tear in your eye, or you're really laughing, or you're really thinking about some little thing, and it just kind of opens you up. And I'm sure a lot of people would echo me thanking you and Simply Folk for what you do.
It's a privilege to get to do it for the very reason that you're talking about. I've been reading this book on the science of music and how it's almost to be human is to enjoy music at some level.
Oh, boy, I'm there with you. Yeah. I am there with you on that. Same thing for me. If I go very long without some music, you know. I mean, I meet the occasional person, not too many, but they just don't have music in their life. They don't listen to anything at work or during the day, or they listen to talk something, newsy stuff. And there isn't a lot of music in and maybe that's okay, but it would never work for me. You know, same thing, like when I do the dishes or it's time to cook, man, you know, I get up, I put some music on and listen to it and stuff like that. And,
well, how about we go out with a little more music here then?
Okay, yeah. This is kind of up the same line, but since we're talking about it, and it's kind of the end of our little interview here, I'll play one more little thing that that I wrote in Ireland. And in Ireland, when they're saying goodbye, or at the end of a gathering, you know, whether it's a Kaylee, which is like a music dance thing or something, they always say, safe home, John, or Slán Ualla, which is Irish, and a lot of them will say that. And I always thought that was endearing, something nice about it. So same thing, after a nice little festival I played in Northern Ireland, Fiddler Green Festival, several day festival, and we're all saying goodbye at safe home, and I had to drive back on the other side of Ireland, and I wrote this little song here, and it's called Safe Home. We've come through the valleys, come through the fields, crossed over rivers to find ourselves here. We sang songs of sorrow, sang songs of love. Let's sing one more together to send ourselves off. Safe home, safe home, safe home will you go? May the light of the moon smile down on your road. Safe home, safe home, safe home will you go? Until I next see you, safe home will you go? We've laid down our worries, our troubles, our fears, like shells on the strand washed by laughter and tears. But the tide has returned now to lift us away. Back to our houses and families we pray. Safe home, safe home, safe home will you go? May the light of the moon smile down on your road. Safe home, safe home, safe home will you go? Until I next see you, safe home will you go? Oh, the fiddles are quiet, the whistles all still, only echoes remain from the jigs and the reels. The dance floor is empty, our farewells all said. Now it's time to be gone, till we all meet again. Safe home, safe home, safe home will you go? May the light of the moon smile down on your road. Safe home, safe home, safe home will you go? Until I next see you, safe home will you go? Until I next see you, safe home will you go?
Thank you. That was great. I love that song. And a few months ago, we got a request from one of our listeners to play that song because, oh, nice. If I remember this correctly, they play it at the end of every time they get together for like a jam session.
Oh, nice.
Before they split up and go home.
Yeah, I've had a lot of emails and stuff from people all around the country that do that. Yeah. They have a singing group in California that every week, and they have their big gathering, and there's like 50 of them. They all sing that song, and there's some in Wisconsin there too. There's something I played for them a couple of years ago. God, I wish I could think of the name of it now that I'm on Wisconsin Public Radio. but anyway, they and their thing with it, you know, every week, and several. What I've really been excited about with that song is, 5 or 6 Irish artists have recorded that song.
Oh, nice.
So it gets a lot of airplay and gets played in Ireland a lot. And so that's a real honor, because sometimes, you know, you write something that's inspired by Ireland, but that doesn't mean it's Irish in any way. But to have a lot of Irish people adopt that song feels really good.
Well, good. Well, yeah. Thank you so much, John, for taking the time to be here today and sharing your music. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for what you do. And anybody who's interested in any more, hearing more about songs or these Irish trips I do, I also do river rafting trips. And I'm actually doing a cruise this June to up to Inner Passage, a week-long thing with a bunch of musicians from Vancouver to stuff. So I do all kinds of stuff. And johnsmithmusic.com.
Okay.
You got to go to get the johnsmithmusic part in there.
Okay.
.com. Right. But anyway, thank you very
much. Thank you. And thanks to Steve Gotcher, our WPR engineer, helping us sound good today. And looking forward to the next time we get together, John.
Thanks, Dan, very much.